is where I'll be reading from in the 10th chapter. And these songs and everything just go right with our message and highlight our God today. If there's anything that needs to be lifted up in our lifetime, it's our God and all that He is able to do and has done and will do for each and every one of us. God is not a respecter of persons. What He has done for others, He'll do for you. And today, if you don't know Him, our prayer is that you'll open up your heart and allow Him to come in and make you part of this great big family and give you that peace that you've been needing in your life. And the world doesn't have it. There's only one place you'll find it, and that's at an altar of prayer. Altar of prayer. So, book of Deuteronomy in the 10th chapter is where we're at this morning. And start reading with verse 12 and going through this the end of this chapter. So, if everybody's found it, he says in verse 12, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all of His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statute, which I command thee this day for thy good." It's for our good. And he goes on to say that, "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord have a delight in thy fathers to love them and to choose their seed after them, even you above all people as it is today." And I underline "even you" in my Bible. He says, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is God of gods and the Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, thou shalt serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, He is thy God that have done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord thy God have made thee as the stars of heaven for a multitude." And stop reading there. That's a lot of reading this morning, but it goes so well with the songs that we've heard and with Jack's testimony that God loves His people. He cares for His people. And today I like to use for a text while you pray for us. God is a great God. He is a great God. And that's what the Lord said here and, through Moses. He said in that 17th verse, He's a great God, a mighty and a terrible, meaning powerful God that we serve today. You know, sometimes I think that we forget what a great God we serve. He's not a God of just yesterday, but He is a God of today as well. In the book of Psalms, David said, "He hath done great things, and who is like unto thee?" There's no one that compares to our God. There's many gods in this world, Jack, but all of them together, combined, don't add up to what our God is this morning. And then all of the gods that we have, that they serve, that cannot do the things that our God can do today. And I like to leave you with the thought that Jeremiah said in the 32nd chapter, "Is there anything that's too hard for our God?" You just think about all that God has given to us and the things that He has done. If we will just serve Him, as He said in that 12th verse, if we will just serve Him and fear Him, honor Him, with all of our hearts and walk in His statutes, keep His commandments, that there is nothing, the Scripture says, that He will withhold from His people. We serve a great God, the greatest of all gods. And I believe that, again, we forget all that He has done and all that He has promised He will do for His people. And that is us today. If you've been saved, you are a child of God. And all of His promises and all of the things that He will do is for you and for me. When we think about how great God is, we have to look at all the things that He has done. He reminded them how that they spent all those years down in Egypt. He said, you went down there with just a few, 70. You touched on that in Sunday school, Lloyd. But when they came out a powerful army of God. In fact, over 600,000 soldiers. That's just the soldiers. That's those that was capable of being a warrior for the children of Israel. That's not counting women and children and all the other men. Estimates are is that they went down with 70, but they came out with 2 to 3 million people that came out underneath bondage. But God was there with them every step of the way. God did not forget about them. He knew exactly where they was at. They have forgotten God. And today, a great God does not need to be forgotten about. I believe that we're pushing Him to the back in so many things in our lives and in our country today. That a great God doesn't need to be a mural on a wall. But a great God needs to be lifted up by all those that know Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. If we believe that He is a great God, we ought to be telling others about what He has done along life's journey. The Bible tells us in many different ways that the God that we serve is a way maker. He makes a way where there seemeth to be no way. The Bible tells us that He is able to open doors that no man can shut. And He can shut doors that no man can open. We serve a great God that has so many great attributes that He shares with each and every one of us. And as the Lord gave this to me, it's like my pen couldn't write fast enough. Because I appreciate when the Lord moves in the midst of our hearts and our lives. When we think about all that God has shown to us, He has not shown just any type of love, but He has shown us a great love. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed great love to us that when we was unlovable, He loved us. And today, even though we didn't love Him, He still loved us. This morning, you may not know about the love that God has for you. But from the beginning of time, God has always shown love to His people. He's always shown love to sinners. That when you and I was lost and undone, church, God still loved us. People say, well, He loves us as His children more. No, He loves all people. And there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And I'm thankful that He called me His friend today. Even though I was far away from Him, He still showed me that great love. The Bible tells us also that God shows us great joy, gives us great joy. It's not my joy, but it's the joy that He gives to me in knowing that I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. My name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And even while we're on this journey, God is great joy in our hearts and lives. How many of you felt your cup overflow during the singing of the songs or the testimony that we heard this morning? You know why that happens? It's because God wants us to have joy. So many times people think, I believe that once you get saved that you never have another good time. All joy has left. And you're just one of those straight-faced people that go to church and never get to experience joy again. I've got joy, joy, joy down in my heart because of the joy that God gives to us today. There's a lot of things I'm unhappy about, but God gives us joy that surpasses all understanding. Joy way down. Even in the midst of a storm, you can have joy because you've got God helping you along the way. And it's not just these things, but the Bible also says and teaches us that God has great power, that there is no power on this earth compared to the power that our God has. When we look at all this power, He's the one who spoke this world into existence. He's the one that made everything that is made. And there was nothing that was made that was not made by Him. Jack, you alluded to the things that man finds, and they change their opinions because of a new constellation or galaxy or something they saw underneath of a microscope. But let me tell you, God made all of it, and He knows where everything is at. There is nothing that has escaped Him, and His power is not limited to His creationism, but it's also, He says that His power is able to go in and separate the bone from the marrow. He's able, through His power, to speak a word and make your life change completely today. And God is able to speak a word that no matter what is ailing you, no matter what is bothering you, no matter what is going on in the world, I'm thankful that God's word is more powerful, and it has not just become powerful, it has always been powerful. And as time goes on, His word will still stand, and it'll never lose His power. Some folks, and I got to preach this morning, but some folks say God as a white-haired man, some frail man that's sitting on a throne in heaven that has decreased in power. Let me reaffirm you this morning. God's power today is the same as it was in eternity past. And if time goes on for another 100 or 1,000 or another million years, He'll still be as strong then as He is now. How many of you know about the power of God that is big enough to make this world? His hand was big enough to carve out the big old mountains and the valleys, but yet His hand is small enough. Hallelujah. To touch my heart and let me feel His presence and know that even when I'm out of control, He is still in control. There is nothing that is able to compare with what a great God that we serve today. The Bible gives us many of these as it goes along. And Gail tells us that things in this world might be able to say that they're there, but they're not as great as what God has given to us today. And He tells us in His word that there is no greater glory than to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's got glory today. You know, some folks, I really believe, Brother Jeff, think that if they don't honor God, that takes away from His glory and His honor. Let me tell you today, while we're here, there are angels around the throne and cherubims that are singing praise and honor and glory unto Him. He is a God that deserves great glory. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations that one day we are going to stand before Him. We're going to bow before Him. And we will give Him the glory that He is deserving of. There'll be nobody in the midst on that day that will say, I don't believe in God. every eye shall see him, and every eye shall behold him. But thank God there will be a number that no man can number that will praise him and honor him and give him the glory that he is deserving of. And listen, church, he's not going to keep it all for himself, but he said that when he comes, he's coming in a cloud, and we shall in a cloud with great glory and honor, and the world shall see him, and we'll praise him like we've never praised him before. And he gives us glory. God lifts us up along the journey. How many of you have ever been down and out and you felt something come by your heart that just lifted you up? You know what that is? That's God showing up in your life and giving you part of that, of his great works that he does in each and every one of us. The Bible teaches us that he is the great physician. He's not just a physician. He is the great physician. Isaiah said it like this in the 53rd chapter. Every one of us that's ever been sick, and as I look over this audience, I see several of you that's been there with those terrible diagnoses. But you know what Isaiah said? He said, because of his power, because what a great God he is, by his stripes we are healed. He took the pain so that we could stand up and say, look what God did for me. How many of you believe this morning that it was God that touched your life and gave you the healing that you needed from the infirmities that man could not heal? And not just a physician for the body, but he's a great physician for the soul today. You see, I've never been diagnosed with any dreaded disease that really turned into be something. But one day when I was 11 years old, the preacher preached and the power of God went out, and I was diagnosed with something worse than cancer. I was diagnosed with sin in my life. And mom and dad couldn't help me. They could point me, but they couldn't help me. The pastor and the deacons of the church couldn't take away that sickness that I had. But when the great power of God come by my way and I said, Lord, I submit my life to you. You know what I did? I stepped out and I was healed instantly and never had to worry about that sickness coming back upon me. Sometimes people, as we heard, sometimes people have cancer and they say that they've been healed only to find out years later it comes back. Church, let me preach this morning. How many of you know you've been healed from sin, sickness in your life today? You never have to worry about it coming back. The devil is not strong enough to come in and overdo or overtake what God has done in our life. We serve a great God, and he is worthy to be praised. Every one of us today that's been saved, we ought to come in this house with praise and worship upon our lips. Lord, what is it you'd have me to say this morning? If it's not a word that I can say, and sometimes people think if I say something, I'll be out of line. Sometimes it's as simple as when the singers are singing that God lays it upon your heart to say amen or hallelujah. Sometimes it's you say, what does that do? That acknowledges that he is a great God in your life. Sometimes, Brother Eli, it's nothing more than raising a hand during that song or during that testimony. You know what that's saying? I reaffirm what they're singing about. I reaffirm what they're testifying about, that God is a great God, not just to them, but let me tell you what he's done for me today. He saved our dying souls. We serve a great God. In the book of Numbers, he says that God is a great God and he has great mercy. That ought to make every one of us want to move this morning. He has great mercy, not just any mercy. You know, when we was all lost, he showed mercy to us. Mercy that we did not deserve. If I could be emphatical this morning, every one of us, because of sin, deserved to die and go to hell. But thank God, He had a plan of mercy that included you and me. In fact, in that 15th verse, He says, even you. When I read that again today and I underlined it, I thought, Lord, I thank you that it included me. If it included the whole world and left me out, I wouldn't know what it was like. But praise God, the whole world may say no to Him. But I say yes, yes, yes. Give me Jesus and let the world pass us by. Let God move in my life and make me the soldier. Make me the person that He would want me to be, because He is a great God that has done so many great things in my life. When I was down, He lifts me up. And sometimes when I fly a little too high, He clips my wings and keeps me down under subjection. See, God looks out for every one of us. There are things in our life, if we knew everything that God has done for us, we wouldn't have time to write it all down. But praise the Lord this morning. How many of you believe God moves and you don't even know about it? Amen. Oh, if you'd been just a few minutes earlier, it might have been you in that wreck. If it had not been for God speaking, the devil may have taken that cancer cell and enlarged it to overtake your body. Had it not been for God, many of us today wouldn't be where we're at this morning. But I praise Him and I thank Him. He is a great God that's able to walk with me and talk with me. He's able to watch over me, and not just me, but my whole household. And not just my household, but your household. I praise Him on a Sunday morning that I serve such a great God that wants to do everything that you have need of if you'll just surrender to Him and say, God, for saved and lost alike, God, I can't, but I give it to you because I know you are able and willing to take care of this situation. God is a great God. In Matthew 24:24, it says that God showed great wonders and signs and wonders. There's been times in my life, as we heard today, Jeff testified. I thank God for testimonies, don't you? He testified about that. Sometimes there are signs and wonders that God gives to us. God, I need to do this, but God says, I've got something for you I want you to see. Something that will help you not just today, but in days to come and in years to come and maybe even in decades to come or generations to come, that I'll show you something that will help you and you'll use that to help others. You know what testifying is? It's giving somebody a word of encouragement that God may be late right now on your circumstance, but don't give up. God is still on the throne. He is still working miracles. He is still doing the impossible for you and I if we will just trust Him. The Bible, and I got to close this morning, but the Bible says in 2 Samuel, Samuel said it like this: God gives us, because He is a great God, He gives us the victory. Oh, David said it like this: the battle's not mine, I give it to you. He gives us victory. And I see a great cloud of witness. The victory comes, and yet it's not my victory. God allows me to enjoy it, but it's because He gave me the victory. How many of us has God done the impossible for? How many of us today have we seen signs that come? You know, sometimes we're like Gideon. We ask God for a sign. How many of us have ever asked God for a sign? And then God shows it to us and we just want to shout His praise and glory because of the sign that He showed to us and the wonder that He worked in our life. And made things that were impossible possible today. And he doesn't do it because of who we are. He does it because of who he is. He is a wonder-working God today. The Bible teaches us many times that he has the power like no other God had. And I got to go back to that one for a minute if it'd be all right. You remember when they was going to crucify him, when he told them he knew he was going to be crucified. He said, that's all right. I have the power. If I could just pray to Father, he would send more than 12 legions of angels to set me free. But he's such a great God. He went ahead and walked up Calvary's hill to pay a great debt that he did not owe. I owed the debt. You owed the debt. But Jesus paid the price for it. He said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to raise it back up. No other God could do that. Buddha couldn't do that. Muhammad couldn't do that. Ira Krishna could not do that. Reverend Moon could not do that. The devil could not do that. Oh, but Jesus Christ, they put him in the tomb and they thought, we've done away with him. But on the third and appointed morning, here come our great God walking amongst the living. They say, it must have been God who spoke it. No, it was by his own power. He got up and he lives forevermore. The Bible says it teaches us like this. It's the power of God that is able to put the devil on the run. How many of you have been fought by the devil this week? Some of you don't want to say anything because you're afraid I might preach longer. How many of you again have been fought by the devil this morning? You know, he fights tooth and nail. He fights against those things that you and I can't control. He fights against those things that you and I can't change. He fights against those things that tear apart our hearts and our lives. But God has the power to put the devil on the run. And you know what he does? He shares it with us. People say, am I able to put the devil on the run? Yes. You say, Roger, tell me how. By calling upon his power, his word, his spirit. See, the devil's not afraid of you and I, but he is afraid of God. You know why he's afraid of him? How many of y'all ever got beat up when you was growing up? Some bully beat you up. Anybody? Some of you are saying yes. You know what God did to the devil? He beat him up. And he cast him and a third part of the angels out of heaven. And the devil remembers that. And that's why the Bible says even the devils tremble at the name of Jesus. He's got power today. And we can have it if we will just allow him to move. Let me move on this morning. The Bible says God is a great God that gives to us great rewards. And you say, that must be over in Revelations where you're reading from. No, that goes back to Genesis, the 15th chapter and the first verse. How many of us have enjoyed the rewards along life's journey just because we know God? You say, what kind of rewards are you talking about? Lord had stepped out, but I'll use him this morning. Doctor says he's in good shape for his age. That's a reward. Yeah. Amen? That's a reward. God's already blessed him. Beyond. Am I preaching the truth this morning? That he's given him a reward in many of you. The Bible says a man's days upon the earth shall be 70. How many of you are beyond 70? 70. How many of you are older than 70? Raise your hands this morning. You know what that is? That's a part of a reward that God has given to you. The reward of our health and our strength. the reward of our right mind and the ability to get up and go. But the greatest reward, moms and dads, can I get an amen this morning? The greatest reward that there is seeing God speak to our children's heart and seeing them step out and receive Him as their Lord is the greatest reward that there is in all the earth today. But He's not going to stop while we're here. He said, for great is your reward in heaven. We got a reward coming to us. You say, Roger, what kind of reward we got coming? I'll tell you what the best one is. When we hear Him pronounce, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When we get to hear that trump sound, and if we're dead and in the grave, it's going to burst open and we're going to come out. And if we're alive, we're going to meet them in the air and go home to be with the Lord. And you're talking about a reward. Not only do we get to see our loved ones that's outstripped us and gone on, we get to see the patriarchs of old that's outstripped us and gone on. But most of all, we get to see the one sitting on the throne in the midst of that city, high and lifted up, and we will praise Him like we've never praised Him before. Let me close this morning. This is a good 2-hour message. I'm trying to put in about 35 minutes. God is a great God because He brought salvation to each and every one of us today. I appreciate all the other things God has done. Don't get me wrong. But how many of you will acknowledge with me on a Sunday morning the best thing God ever did for you was when He saved your dying soul? Hallelujah. I hear that song from years gone by. He reached way below the bottom, and He pulled me out of that miry pit of clay of sin, and He set my feet upon a solid foundation, and He established my goings. I don't know how He took red blood and washed my black sins and made me white as snow. Isn't that what David said? But I know this. He did it. You say, if you don't know how He did it, how do you know He did it? I was there when it happened. I was there. And to this day, I got to remember how old I am. 46 years later. You see, 46 years later, I'm still saying, Lord, You're the best thing that ever happened to me. You're the best thing. You say, what about your parents and your wife and your family and the church? They're all good things, and don't get me wrong. But the Lord is the best thing that's ever happened to me. How many of you agree with me on a Sunday morning while Robin Sharon gets us a song? How many of you agree with me this morning? God is a great God. He's a great God. He's not a so-so God. He's not a mediocre God. He's not even just a good God. He is a great God. A great God that will save your dying soul on this Sunday morning. Some of you that are lost, or you're wandering. You're like in a wilderness. You're wandering, and the devil is putting all kinds of things before you. The devil can show you things that you think are great and wonderful. But what the devil won't show you is what it's going to cost you. As much as I've tried to preach about a great God this morning, the devil is going to show you things that will take you to a place of destruction for all eternity. And there's no escape. God's people don't have to worry about that. That you know what? People used to shout when you'd say, you don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. People used to praise the Lord because of it. Today, we've been saved. Sometimes I think we've been saved so long that we forgot what God did for us. You know what we need to do is go back and reflect every once in a while about that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday that you bowed your head and gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. And you that are still lost this morning, the devil does not compare to what God can give you. I ask you why we stand. They sing a verse of a song. Would you consider taking this great God as your God? Would you consider that this morning? Accept Him as your God. And see what great things He'll do for you. Some of you already have experienced great things that God has done. But He's got greater things if you'll accept Him as your Savior. Why don't you make that move this morning? Look how good God has been to you. And I feel with all my heart that you know God has watched over you and blessed you. But He wants to do even more for your life, in your heart and soul, if you'll just trust Him. If you'll just trust Him this morning. Come home. While they pause for a minute, let me give this to you, then I'll get out of the way. How many of us as Christians have just taken it for granted that we've got God in our life? How many that just take God and, as I said for many times over the years, we just use Him as a dish rag. When we need Him, we pick Him up, and when we're done, we just throw it back. God wants to be your God all the time, not just part of the time. And I've had people to say, my life is not as blessed as others that I see around us, talking about Christians. And you know, I believe that that's because we're not fully dedicated to God. We're not truly working for Him like we should, nor magnifying His name like we should. So I ask you, why? They sing another verse. This morning, if you want God to show what a great God He is, maybe you need to get back in line. You know, the first verse I read to you said that you have to walk in His ways and keep His statutes and obey His commandments. You say, that's too hard. Not if you've got your mind made up that you're going to walk with the Lord. Why don't you come this morning? Why reject the best thing that could ever happen to you? Why reject Him this morning? Instead, you ought to step out and ask Him for forgiveness. Yes. God wants you to come this morning. Will you obey Him, or will you walk away another time without following your heart? Yeah, sing it, church. Come on home. All of you today, especially those that have never accepted the Lord as your Savior. Yes. Amen and amen. I've preached to you what God gave me this morning. And, you know, The Bible says, seek the Lord before the evil days come. And I know he was talking to young people that, how many of you got saved before you was 15 years old? Raise your hand. And some of you, many of you got saved after that. But you know what? It was by God's grace. Even some of you that got saved later in life, you knew God had spoke to you in times past. And you never accepted him. You know what? God, through his mercy, came by and offered it to you. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe God everything. Amen. Tonight will be fellowship. We'll have church at 6 o'clock. Make sure I give it the right time, 6 o'clock. So we want everybody to come back tonight and come expecting good things to happen in the house of the Lord. God bless you today. And remember, we serve a great God. And you remember that when the devil's got you to where you feel like you've been defeated. Amen. God bless you today.